My name's Sean Collier. I'm here with Aaron Kleiber outside the AMC Lowe's Waterfront 22.
Bingo.
On the streets to give our review of the Penguins winning Game 7.
Stanley Cup Finals. If you're from Pittsburgh, I know you're excited because I am right now. Let's talk about the Penguins. No, I'm just kidding.
Before that happened, we saw X-Men Apocalypse because we just enjoy being disappointed by superhero movies. And we're going to tell you why this week. On You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday. Well, what's tomorrow? 27th. Friday, May 27th. 2016. I'm here with Aaron Kleiber, who's wearing a recording pack on his hip, like we are recording a reel-to-reel about the results of the Eisenhower election.
I know. I'm like, what do you feel about Watergate, sir?
It's just, we got microphones. It's, you know, occasionally we'll do this outside, and we just have a little recorder. We have a phone. It just looks like two people talking. Now we are a spectacle.
We're officially weirdos.
Everyone leaving Burgatory is going to see us. Plug to Burgatory.
Sean's,
they got good food.
Mike Condom is pink also.
It is, yes.
So, yeah, Burgatory at the waterfront in Pittsburgh. There's also another location, Burgatory.
There's a couple.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Robinson, I think somewhere in Cranberry there's one.
Oh, there's one in one of the stadiums, too.
In Consol Energy Center,
that's
home
right.
of
the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
The Eastern Conference champs.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I wasn't following too closely this year, but... That was in part because it was like, it doesn't seem like anything's happening this year.
I got back in hard into hockey. I mean, it's really hard for me to pay attention being on the road a lot, and I've been playing a lot more hockey this year, and I just am starting to like can't get enough again because I went years not missing a game.
Yeah,
like watching every game at night, and then when you start doing stand up, you can't really. Watch hockey, and it ruins hockey.
What's your prediction for the finals? Just throw it out here.
Honestly, I don't know yet. I would have rather have played the St. Louis Blues. I think they're not as experienced. San Jose is no joke. They can score. Tampa Bay. I mean, I think they had 15 shots this final game.
Yeah, they were.
San Jose knows how to pepper the puck. They sure do, and. They're fast. They have a similar team to the Penguins. They got a lot of veterans with Stanley Cups. Joe Thornton's unbelievable. They got a great goaltender. It's two very similar teams, in my opinion. So I don't know.
Think this is going seven?
I don't know. I mean, it
take
might
take us all the way to training camp.
It might. Well, I mean, you never know. You can never like you never know until you see the tone of the game. You know, you can see games one and two and see how the teams. You know, match up, but then, you know, it's really hard to say.
Good hockey talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can talk about hockey. I played for hockey for a long time.
You're waiting for like someone to make a movie about a sassy goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I would love to play a goalie in a movie.
Yeah. I would watch that movie. I would watch it before I would watch another X-Men movie. After
X-Men
tonight.
Apocalypse. That's what we're really talking about, guys.
Now, I have to clarify, the first couple X-Men movies came out before I was even doing reviews. I think X-Men came out in 98 or 99. I was not a film critic yet, and I was not a big comic book guy as a teenager.
Right.
So as it happens, I haven't seen those, and then circumstance, I haven't really seen any. I think I saw Origins Wolverine, and that might be the only one before that. That said... You know, I know enough about the characters now that I'm a little more into comic books to at least, you know, feel confident walking in here. And for me, coming in on this one, it was just kind of disappointing.
I read mostly growing up, I read Batman and Punisher and a couple other random things, but and some X-Men, obviously, the 90s cartoon, The X-Men, that was on Fox, everyone loved that. Come on.
And then all the a lot of video games when we were kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, the X-Men Capcom arcade game, which is actually at Arcade Theater, Arcade Comedy Theater,
yes,
right now. Oh, yeah. Chris Prexton and I, he frequent guest, one of my best friends. We used to play that at Point Park all the time. They had the Marvel Capcom game. It's one of the best. But, yeah, I've seen all of these movies. I've seen all the Wolverines. Oh, I read a lot of Wolverine. I know a lot, lot more about Wolverine and Batman and Punisher. Those are the three that I know the most about.
You see, they restarted Punisher. There's a new Punisher series.
They're going to.
I have the first one. You got to get in on that. That's real good.
Oh, the comic.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to apparently make a standalone Punisher Netflix series.
Ah.
With Jon Bernthal. I think he's really good. I'm only about halfway through Daredevil. It's really hard for me to slug through Daredevil. And I know everyone just gasped that I'm not head over heels for Daredevil, but it is the same three scenes over and over again, and I'm going to keep saying that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like lawyer talk, boring in the office talk, and then it's a dark alley fight scene that you can barely see.
That's that smaller budget. That's what that is. We can only afford so many action sequences.
Well, apparently X-Men Apocalypse had a small budget because there are not a lot of action scenes.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fighting
in
X-Men Apocalypse.
About halfway through, I was thinking, I'm not having a horrible time, but this just feels odd. And you leaned over to me and said, nobody's fighting.
Yeah.
And I realized there is not a meaningful action sequence in this movie until the climax.
I mean, oh yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the first act, and spoiler free, because there's some surprises in this.
Yeah.
One of those surprises is the first real action scene that's probably an hour into the movie.
Oh, more than that. I was thinking about the game, so I was looking at my watch pretty carefully. I think it was a good hour 15, hour 20 before. There was some effect sequences.
Right.
There was some, like, you know, it's a superhero movie, so someone, like, punches someone out suddenly.
Right, right.
But, you know, look at something like Civil War, which is going to be the point of comparison.
Look, I said to you, like, every Marvel movie, this aside, I even when they showed the Marvel page flip intro, I was like, this doesn't count.
No.
The Avenger movies, and you know, there's an action scene every 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. And
I'm sure somebody could get in the time code and be like, well, actually, Aaron. But you know, it moves so much quicker.
But just to take Civil War, the most recent one, starts with a big action sequence.
Yes.
Then you
there's
have that
not
big,
even an act.
That big chase where Black Panther is, you know, that's about, that's in the first act.
Yeah.
And the biggest action sequence in Civil War is two-thirds of the way through the movie.
Yeah.
Because one of like, the why best, are we here?
One of the best comic book action scenes I've ever seen.
Agreed.
And airport.
And what you're left with in this one is characters who, you know, we like, and we want to see them use their powers.
Yes.
Just talking. Just
and that's the thing. That's a huge gripe for me about this, is that I love seeing these comic book heroes that I grew up with come to life.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you see a little glimpse of their powers that they're not really using in a fight. And you know, it's just disappointing. And then when you have a lineup, you know, apparently this is kind of an answer to Civil War.
Yeah.
So when you have these two factions, these heroes and villains, you know, it's like 6-on-4.
Yeah.
And none of them are using powers.
Well, and
I mean, it's maddening. They're just walking around.
We're not just talking about characters that you don't know as well. You know, this one early on, they're like, oh, here's Storm. Here's Storm's here. Here's Cyclops.
Yeah, there's no spoilers there. I mean, yeah.
And Storm and Cyclops don't get in on the action, really, for 2 hours.
Yeah.
2 full hours.
Yeah.
Like
Cyclops is like, my eyes. I don't know what to do with my eyes.
I don't know. You know, I don't even want to give basic plot details because I don't know how much of even what we see in the opening sequence is something that people wouldn't want to know beforehand.
Right. But the setup, I would say the setup for Apocalypse, let's get into like the little things, little story elements that we're not going to really specifically say, but the setup for Apocalypse is cool.
Yes,
it is. It's creative.
And Oscar Isaac did a very good job.
Yeah, role. I don't know it's Oscar Isaac. I mean, you know.
I think he did it. It reminded me of Ultron, and now I'm blanking on who played Ultron. Somebody good.
Oh.
Who was it?
Oh, my God.
Why can't I?
We're the worst.
It wasn't Jeremy Irons, but it was somebody, you know, like that with some. Why don't I remember who played Ultron? But I'll find it in a minute.
I'm brain dead.
It was a villain like that, a villain I liked watching. But then. This isn't a spoiler. So Apocalypse, the villain, the character, has to like recruit some people, right? That's fair. That's not a spoiler.
Well, yeah,
James Spader played Ultron.
Oh, that's right.
And he was great. He's got to recruit some followers. So a full like hour of this movie is just him going around like talking people into it.
Apocalypse is just walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of that I will not spoil, part of that process involves a very prominent character who is given a long stretch of the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
To show you where he is right now.
Yeah.
Which you could have cut all of. Every minute of it.
Yeah.
And not only did it not add anything, I didn't like that stuff.
Right.
It's hard to tell you what I'm talking about without spoiling it, but this character has 30 minutes of you know, what's going on with him, and I was like, I don't like where you're taking this.
Yeah.
It just doesn't add. It's some very serious stuff that adds nothing.
I want to move on to another thing that I'm going to hate on that sometimes Sean doesn't like me hating on.
Yeah, you're going to get a time limit on this one.
All right.
But I'm more inclined to agree with you for once.
I am so tired of Jennifer Lawrence. Like, I am done with fucking Jennifer Lawrence. I bleeped myself. And it is very frustrating in this movie because Mystique is not some leader of the X-Men, okay?
Right.
And because Jennifer Lawrence plays her, they make her pretty much the main character of the film, which is maddening.
I might argue that Xavier is the main character, but it's close.
But I mean, I'm trying to be spoiler-free, but, you know, and then she's like rallying the young X-Men like she's Katniss in Hunger Games. She is playing Katniss in Hunger Games.
And honestly,
I mean, and it's really annoying to me.
You see her in the David O. Russell movies, and she's doing everything she can. She's chasing that Oscar. She's doing her thing. In this, and even in the last two Hunger Games movies, it's like, man, does she not want to be here?
Well, you know, get that house in Malibu. I get it.
But the fact that they
revolve the story around her because she's an actress in this film, it changes the story.
Yeah.
That is insane.
And it's
that is ridiculous.
The stupid thing is, so that's a marketing decision. That's when First Class happened, she wasn't the biggest thing in the world.
Right.
Now she is. We got to put her front and center. You can do that on the poster and the commercials and not spend the vast majority of the movie with her.
And honestly, I wish we had a comic book head here like Terry Jones or Chris Prexta, but I'm kind of sure that Mystique is not this big of a deal in the X-Men world. Like, that's really frustrating.
No, they clearly have inflated that character because they have an actress under contract who got a lot hotter after they signed that contract.
Ugh. And
I that I love her, but I didn't care about her. Tell me this. I just watched a 2-hour and 24-minute movie that revolved around her. I don't know what her powers are.
She,
what does she do?
She can change into people. She, I've said before,
and
that I think she's as useless as like as Hawkeye.
So
to be honest,
like in combat, she has nothing.
I mean, she can fight like Black Widow, and she can change into people's faces. That's what she can do.
Yeah, that's pretty useless when you have people who can command the lightning and...
Yeah. I'm like Hawkeye over here with a bow and arrow. I'm like, you should have been dead 2 movies ago, bro.
Yeah.
And also Black Widow. Like, I like the character of Black Widow. I think that she has had some great scenes, like when she was tied up in the chair. Remember that scene from, I don't remember which one, Avengers that was in.
I think that was Iron Man 2?
No, Age of Ultron. I think.
No, I think it's the first Avengers. Okay. It's the first Avengers.
I mean, yeah, I like the espionage of Black Widow. I think Scarlet's great, you know, but like I feel like in this world of superheroes that most of them could kill a person.
Yeah.
Like a snap of a finger.
Yes.
And Black Widow and people like Black Widow and Hawkeye
and Mystique
are still alive?
Yeah.
No, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead.
It does pull you out of the movie a little bit.
It's annoying to me.
It's
that they're up there battling with people that have insane superpowers. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
It's interesting that, you know, everyone in Hollywood knew that Civil War was going to be huge.
Yeah.
So DC schedules their Heroes Fighting movie to come out right before. And fake Marvel schedules their Heroes Fighting movie to come out right after. And
right.
It's
we know how that works.
I get it. I get that you're competing. But I don't think those studios don't know that their movie isn't going to be as good as Civil War. So, I mean, you know, you've made movies. I mean,
well,
is there... Is that just delusion? Is that DC, Warner Brothers, and Fox, Marvel, saying, no, ours is going to be just as good as Civil War, you just wait and see.
But they have to. Like, they have to compete. It's the same thing with, and maybe we'll get into trailer trash, this new Matthew McConaughey movie.
Yeah, our extra butter is going to be extended trailer trash because there were 22 minutes of trailers.
What was that? What's the Matthew McConaughey movie called?
Jones. Jones Free Country, something like that.
Free Country Jones?
Something like that.
That sounds like an awesome folk singer. No, but this Matthew McConaughey, it's like a slave, you know, a slave uprising. Well, really, Birth of the Nation is coming out later this year.
Birth of the Nation, by the way, I think I've said this already, is now my, like, 2 years ago we were talking all year about Interstellar. Last year we were talking all year about The Revenant.
Even the McConaughey movie looks pretty good.
Yeah.
The trailer is not done very well.
No.
But Birth of a Nation looks, I mean, fantastic.
But you're saying that the studios follow the heat and say, okay, that's going to be big. We got to do the same thing.
And
I think that's a big... You're playing chicken with your movies.
They do. They have to.
And everyone assumes... I don't understand how Warner Brothers and 20th Century Fox don't know by now that people are gonna like Disney Marvel's movie more. I don't see how they don't get that.
They make enough money where they think, well, we have these amount of people that are coming to see our movies, and we're going to do them as best as we can. But then they are following suit and trying to make them just like what is doing the best, which is Avengers series.
Yeah, but nobody can pull it off. We were talking before we started recording, you know, you can count on one hand the number of superhero movies from the last 25 years that aren't Marvel Cinematic Universe movies that you really liked. It's Spider-Man and
Tim Burton's
Batman. After Tim Burton's Batmans. So after that.
Okay.
Spider-Man, Dark Knight, you said Blade.
Blade's great.
Other than that, no one other than Disney Marvel can do this.
Nope. And let's get into that comparison. A couple things. I turned to you a couple times because we were not at a screener, so we can talk more in a movie.
Yeah.
But one of the things is they don't get, you know, giving characters their separate pieces in a movie.
Yeah.
Like this, are we calling this Marvel Fox?
Fox, yeah.
Fox Marvel.
Fake Marvel.
The X-Men's, they don't do the characters like they do in Avengers movies. They don't give them their individual scenes where they shine, they show their powers, they get in a fight. That's one thing. Filmmaking-wise, the action scenes in X-Men Apocalypse are not good.
No.
They're not good.
It felt like I was watching Transformers or Ninja Turtles
or anything.
And the
thing, too, is I never notice wire work in Avengers movies.
No.
This was, I really noticed wire work in a green screen studio. Like, that takes me out of it.
You just look at the roster from 20th Century Fox Marvel, and from Sony Marvel, which is now kind of gone.
Right.
The Amazing Spider-Man's, Fantastic Four from last year, this X-Men. It's like, what are you doing?
Look, do you want to do well? Just give it to Disney. Just give it to Disney.
Look at how much Disney paid for the rights to Star Wars. Look at how much they paid for the rights to Indiana Jones.
They're not playing around.
You'll make a whole movie's worth of money on that deal. You will make as much selling. Now, I know. Look, I get it. All of these, you know, Batman versus Superman, everybody hated it.
Studios want to hold on to properties.
It's still going to make a ton of money. But look at it this way. You're going to make the same amount of money overseas, and I know overseas is 60-70% of the total. You're going to make that amount of money no matter what, because that's just how the money works.
Right.
But the difference in making a good movie domestically is the difference between, I don't know, 200, 250 million and then like 450, 500 million.
Right.
You're telling me a movie studio doesn't want to make, you know, it really pisses me off when, like, around Batman versus Superman, a bunch of people, including Amy Adams, and I know that Henry Cavill said, well, we didn't make a movie for critics, we made it for the fans. And it's like, you know you can do both, right?
Yeah.
You know you can please the fans and people who are looking at it more critically.
And you didn't please the fans.
No.
You're not at all.
You know, I know there are, you know, super fans who like everything.
Yeah.
But how many people who love Batman and love Superman and love Justice League do you know who were like, oh, Batman versus Superman was garbage?
A lot.
Yeah.
Almost everybody I know.
Yeah.
Every friend that I know that likes superheroes and comic books. Like, why?
And, I don't think
Bryan Singer gets it.
No.
He's trying. He's doing much better than DC.
Yeah. No, let's say that right now. This is a much better movie than Batman versus Superman.
Oh, absolutely.
This is something that you can sit through and you're not like, God, when does this end? The tone is better.
But
there are scenes in Apocalypse that I enjoyed entirely.
But if you're looking for that, you know, really coherent, you know, the Marvel Avengers movies really are clear cut, like scene, boom, character, scene, fight, scene. Like it, they got it. This cadence down.
Yeah.
Of how their movies should look, and it's great. And it seems like the Marvel movies, the Marvel Avenger movies, they love their characters. They really do. And I feel like X-Men Apocalypse, they're kind of like, oh, here's your characters. Here they are. Like, we're putting them all in, you know, and you're not going to get much of them, you know.
It's almost as if, and this goes for DC and for Fox, it's almost as if the movie is not, you could sub generic heroes in these movies.
Yeah.
If you look at Batman versus Superman, you could just make up some new characters.
Right.
And plug them in there, and it wouldn't really change the movie.
Yeah, that's a good point, because with the Marvel Avengers movies, you fall in love with each character in certain instances.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You really enjoy them. And this is, it's not. I'm watching Cyclops, I'm watching, you know, characters that I really want to see shine, and they don't really do it.
No.
There are two instances in the movie, one is a spoiler that I'm not going to talk about, that felt very Marvel.
Yeah.
That was the first fight scene. That's a super spoiler, and you're going to enjoy it.
Yes.
And the other one is there's a great, great scene with Quicksilver that I turned to Sean and was like, this is Marvel Avengers. Like, yes. this is fun. It's intriguing action. The Quicksilver is a great character. That felt,
got the right actor for it.
Yeah.
Evan Peters.
I love him, from, man. American Horror Story. I love him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that, I was like, oh, this is,
right.
Okay. Oh, now that's just heroes walking around.
Right.
Again. Yeah.
And before we take a break here, our 1 minute, we do this nearly every week. This movie is absolutely not for kids. This is brutally violent.
Yes.
I might even say this is more violent than Batman vs. Superman.
I think it is.
Batman vs. Superman was a little bit more guns and explosions. This is like beheadings and throat slashings. It's like Mortal Kombat fatalities.
Yeah, I turned to Sean and I was at the end of the movie. I go, what's the over-under for beheadings and throat cuts?
I'd
say about 24.
And some really gory stuff in there, too.
Yeah.
There's a
horror movie blood splatters.
There's a completely unnecessary F-bomb.
Oh, it's PG-13. Let's throw an F-bomb. What? Why? And then there's going to be Burger King meals for kids.
Yeah.
Oh, I am such a dad. But you're not, and I'm glad you're in on it.
But
I mean,
this is a case where it's like, you know, maybe you do have that 10-year-old who's already seen Jurassic World and Avengers, and you know he's been, you know, he has a good understanding. He's a smart kid. I get it, but it's like we hit it all the time. The ratings board, the MPAA, completely has abandoned their duties because this is an R-rated.
Well,
movie.
It's also a political process, I think.
Yes,
I really think it is. I think it's studio heads. You know, just like the NFL controls television networks and the government controls pharmaceuticals and guns, gun lobbyists. Anyway, it's the same way in studios.
The studios
and the MPAA
are running the show as far
absolutely.
As that's concerned.
You know, and so they beg and they're like, oh, okay, you know.
Last thing I'll say.
This is my last thing.
Yes.
I'm frustrated that there's so many superhero movies that I can't let my kids see until they're at least 13, 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Because
yeah.
my kids love superheroes.
Right.
They love them.
Right.
And even, you know, I feel comfortable with the Marvel Avengers movies. There's still a lot of violence in them.
Yeah.
And, you know, my son is 5.
Yeah.
And I know people are like, I know people are taking their 3-year-olds to go see Avengers because we see them there.
Right.
I don't agree with that.
No, I'm with you.
But, you know, there are selected scenes that I have showed my kids. Like, you know, I always bring up the Thor and Hulk fight on the helicarrier.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids are losing their minds.
Right.
You know, it's not violent. You know, Hulk doesn't randomly drop an F-bomb for no reason.
Right.
You know, it's a superhero fight.
Right.
It's a superhero fist fight. And they're into it. You know, that's fun to them. And but, you know, then there's serious stuff and there's machine guns and, you know, that's a little too much. And, you know, the story of them talking and stuff is a little too much for my kids. And, you know, they won't follow it, you know.
Right.
But this is like, there's some movies I can't do it.
And this is the last thing I'll say about Apocalypse and we'll move on. But talking again about all of the superhero movies that are not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, what's the one that worked? Deadpool, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've heard this about Suicide Squad already. I think DC and Fox and everybody else who's trying to do this is thinking, oh, we need to have more jokes. We need to make it more edgy. We need to make it more violent, like Deadpool.
No.
That was not the lesson to take.
No.
Here's the lesson for
Deadpool.
Deadpool
was standalone.
Here's the lesson. It's the studio didn't want to do it. They didn't think it would work. They didn't think that it would sell.
Right.
And Ryan Reynolds convinced them, take a chance. And it paid off.
Yep.
So the lesson is, other than Disney, Marvel, your instincts are bad.
Yeah.
The things that you think you want are not working.
And you know,
just go against the grain a little bit.
And Deadpool is Disney Marvel.
Yes. No, it's not.
It's not.
It's the same as X-Men.
Really?
Yeah, it's Fox. But well, that's the thing. They didn't want to do it. They fought it all the way, and it paid off more than anything else they've
tried.
Well,
then good for them, because the other thing they did, too, with Deadpool is they just let go and let Deadpool be Deadpool, and right. they were like, this is how it is. Now, think about if they did that with X-Men. Because God forbid the X-Men have yellow suits.
Yeah.
I complained about that ever since the first X-Men came out.
Yeah.
These cool black leather suits, because that's more realistic.
What about realistic in this universe?
Why do you have to have it so realistic?
Yeah.
That's my big gripe about James Bond movies now. It's just Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what happened to the supervillains that have weird powers and,
right.
you know, this fantasy world of James Bond? That's the other problem.
Yeah.
Whoever told you
I don't need to
make movies so, like, it needs to be more real, believable. You're talking about superheroes.
I don't need to believe that the X-Men could exist in my world.
No.
To enjoy it.
Exactly.
All right. We'll be back after this word from the Epicast Network.
Boom! I'm Aaron Kleiber. Guys, check out my podcast, Grown Dad Business, part of the Epicast Network. I talk to guests, some comedians, actors, some pretty fun, interesting people about their kids, about their childhood, about parents. And every once in a while, I bring in my own kids. Like my son Luke. Should they listen to the podcast? Why?
But we love you, right?
Oh, okay. Or my daughter Becca talks to us. Why should they listen to the podcast?
Because my dad is funny.
True.
He is a good spy.
He's a good spy?
Yes.
Not anymore. You just told everybody.
And he's awesome.
Luke, am
Yay,
I awesome?
He poops.
I do poop. Listen to Grown Dad Business, guys, part of the Epicast Network, and you'll get more of this and hopefully more entertaining things that is not happening. Follow your heart.
And we're back.
Boom.
Aaron, tell them what shirt I'm wearing.
Sean's wearing one of my favorite shirts from Goods and Evil, goodsandevil.com. It is the Heinz ketchup symbol made into the zombie capital Pittsburgh Heinz symbol, and it's awesome. From goodsandevil.com. Goods and Evil has some of our favorite movie horror zombie shirts. Awesome designs. They have a line of vegan shirts. And because they're into that.
Yeah.
And if you're into that, honestly, if I was a vegan, I would have bought every single one of their shirts because it's cool.
This is my favorite, the Heinz one.
Yeah.
Because of the detail on it.
Oh, yeah.
This is all you need to know. When where the Heinz logo has the year that the company was founded.
Yeah.
The Brains Goods and Evil zombie shirt has 1968 yes. because that's the year Night of the Living Dead came
Spectacular.
Out. Spectacular. That's the kind of attention you're getting
yeah.
when you get your
yeah,
shirt from Goods and Evil.
Yeah, there's always little things like that.
Yeah.
And I always bring up my Camp Crystal Lake Camp Counselor shirt.
Yep.
Is my favorite. It's my favorite shirt I own. But you can go to goodsandevil.com and you can save 10% on any order with coupon code HANDLE.
As in, you can't handle the truth.
The name of this podcast.
That's the name of the podcast yeah. you're listening to. Go to goodsandevil.com.
Yeah.
And Aaron, where are you going to be coming up here?
I'm going to be at the Limestone Comedy Festival in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm going to be, I'm going all over the place this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be in Oklahoma City. I'm going to be in Little Rock again. I'm going to be, where am I going to be in Michigan? I don't even remember.
Probably.
Well, AaronKleiber.com. Yeah, I'm all over the place. And also, I talked about this on my podcast, Grown Dad Business.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to comedians, creative people, entertainers about them having kids or growing up,
yeah.
what makes them funny, things like that. And my last episode was with Jason Clark.
Mm-hmm.
He is my scorekeeper sidekick, Ed McMahon, on the live hit show that I do here in Pittsburgh called Comic Wars at mm-hmm. Arcade Comedy Theater. But this summer, June, July, and August, my best friend Danny Palumbo was in Austin for years, won Funniest in Austin, which is a huge contest. He's coming back home this summer. And all summer, we're going to have a show called Danny and Aaron Bring the Heat.
Ah.
And it's we're hosting duo style.
Uh-huh.
And we're bringing some comedians on the road that we know. They're coming out June 17th, July 22nd, and August 19th, 8 p.m., Danny and Aaron Bring the Heat.
Where are these shows?
all at Arcade Comedy Theater.
Right, right.
8 p.m., Road Comics, some locals on those shows. And then at 10 p.m. on all those dates, all those comics will be in the Comic Wars show.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Speaking of Arcade, I should give a plug. If you're listening this weekend, you're in the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
I know they are doing their first ever weekend-long sketch festival.
It's their second.
Oh, it's the second one.
Yeah, it's the second
Sketchville,
one.
Their weekend-long sketch festival. I know that, you know, I know that wherever you are, you've seen a sketch comedy troupe.
Yeah.
And what there are so many people who are so good at this in Pittsburgh
now. There's a great handful of sketch groups. I always love to give a shout-out to Frankly Scarlet.
Yeah.
All-female sketch group. Just amazing.
Justin and Jerome Experience is another really good one in Pittsburgh. Yeah. If you're in the area and you're looking for something funny this weekend, keep an eye on Arcade Comedy Theater. And I'm going to be at the Pittsburgh Improv next weekend. A week from now, as you're hearing this, I will be at Arcade with Adam Ferrara.
Yeah, I just went brain dead from the car show.
Top Gear.
Yeah. But really funny stand up comic. I actually worked with him last year.
Uh huh.
He's a great comic.
So
great.
Make sure.
A lot of people don't know him. They know Nate, know him from Top Gear, and they're like, oh my God, he's a stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Go see Sean and Adam Ferrara
next weekend.
Yeah.
At the Pittsburgh Improv. We're going to do this briefly because I need to go to bed. But our extra butter is just some trailer trash because we're at AMC. AMC, we love you. You pack in a lot of trailers.
Yeah.
There were quite a few trailers, so we wanted to hit a couple of them.
They got
to
pay the bills.
I'm just pumped for Independence Day.
Really?
That's the one where... Now, I loved... You know, when I was a kid, realistically, Jurassic Park was my favorite movie, and Independence Day was second.
Well, I owned the Independence Day VHS, and I went through it a bunch.
Yeah.
I really liked the original growing up.
This is,
I don't know how much it holds up.
This is the one where every trailer I see, I'm like, oh, they're getting it right. There's a reason why it's... You know, they establish why it's 20 years later. They have a lot of the characters back.
Yeah.
It's it looks, from the action we saw in there, it looks as spectacular as the action in Independence Day looked in 1995.
That's a good point.
Then Independence Day was really on the cutting edge of special effects. This looks like the same thing.
Just as long as they have a cameo by the dude, I gotta call my mother.
Yeah, Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah, I love him.
No, he did not make it. He did not make it out of the first one.
I got to call my mother.
He was great.
So good.
But Judd Hirsch is in there. The creepy scientist is in there.
Yeah.
Jeff
Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum is back. Bill Pullman. In you know, I'm not like a giant Bill Pullman fan, but he was great in that role.
Great. One of the best movie speeches.
You know the scientist I'm talking about? The crazy long gray
hair. He looks exactly the same.
And you might remember I used to have some long hair that I've since outgrown.
That's right.
He
did kind of look like him.
One night I went into a gas station and the security guard was like, "You know who you look like?"
Oh my God.
And I'm like, "Oh, once again, you know, sometimes I get Seth Rogen or Jonah Hill. I'll get that sometimes." She's like, "You know Independence Day, the crazy scientist? You look exactly like that guy."
Thank you for
offering that. Not only thinking it, but feeling I should know.
Yeah, you did have that long Silver Fox Lorenzo Lamas hair.
I was
Lorenzo Lamas, dude.
I was better off. I'm better off now with a grown-up's haircut. But anyway, I'm pumped for Independence Day. I think it's going to pay
I'll
off.
I'll see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got the better Ghostbusters trailer.
Right.
What,
you know, and a lot of people are griping about the female cast, which I think is stupid. I'm not even going to address it. That's dumb. But I started to realize, and I don't know if this is true or not. I got to dig into it or just wait to see the movie. But it seems like that the original Ghostbusters in this world, in the new film, doesn't exist.
No, I can confirm that that's true. This is not...
That's kind of frustrating.
This is not...
That doesn't make sense.
No,
because,
I don't like it. This is not a sequel. This is a reboot.
It would make... Because we're fans of Ghostbusters because of the original.
Yeah.
So, you know, and let's just pull out Independence Day again.
Yeah.
It's 20 years later. You know, it seems
or
like...
Or Jurassic World or Mad Max Fury Road or...
So,
or Star Wars.
Right. So, you know, in the trailer, there's a newscaster that really gives the whole idea of that is like, there's this new team of ghost fighters. And I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, why didn't you just, like, you know, the original cast has kept this business going for 30 years. And people have worked for the Ghostbusters company, and this is the new crew. Like, that makes sense.
I still...
Give Bill Murray a little cameo. Give Dan Aykroyd a little cameo. You know, like, they're the CEOs of the company or whatever.
I still...
But that doesn't make sense because that's what we love.
I still am looking forward to it. It's still one of my most anticipated movies of the summer. And this trailer that we saw tonight is a lot better than the first trailer that came out.
It's exciting too because the females, I mean, they're the funniest ladies. And I don't want to keep saying ladies. I mean,
there's some of the
funniest people
working
on
today.
The planet.
Yes.
I mean, Kristen Wiig is one of the funniest people on the planet.
And finally something for Kate McKinnon, who has been killing it on SNL.
One of the only funny characters.
The last year or two of SNL have not been good.
She
kills every sketch she's in.
I feel like she's so goofy.
Yeah.
She's the new Will Forte.
Yes.
Right? Like, she'll come out with characters that I feel like, because you've heard the stories about Will Forte would beg to do these insane characters.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, dude, no.
Yeah.
And then they let him and people love it. I think Kate McKinnon, like, comes up with these characters and they're like, that's insane. But okay, let's do it. I love her. She goes all in.
How'd you feel about the trailer for Assassin's Creed?
Well, I didn't know that Assassin's Creed had a bunch of futuristic science involved. I
think it does, but...
Hey, guys, comment on our Facebook page. Yeah. Go to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. I'm not an Assassin's Creed player. I didn't know that, you know, according to the trailer, that Michael Fassbender... travels back in time and gets into the body of this Assassin's Creed ancestor.
No,
I
think that's part of it.
This Stargate? What is Stargate? What is this?
A lot of it looks really good.
Sure.
I don't trust that genre. I don't trust, you know, medieval action or it's not medieval, you know.
Well, it's in right now.
It's I know it is. I just don't have a lot of faith. The trailer looked good. The trailer made me go, oh, okay. But I just don't have a whole lot of faith in it.
Right. And we did touch on the Matthew McConaughey movie.
Yeah, that was in there. And maybe we can end with this. Deepwater Horizon, the movie.
Did I miss that?
No, you were there with Mark Wahlberg about the oil rig blowing up.
Oh, the oil rig. Lot of stars in that.
Lot of stars in that.
Kurt Russell looks awesome.
I don't. Is that's well, that's know, too soon, isn't it?
Is it?
I mean, when did that happen?
I don't remember.
Was that about 2000? Well, let me see. That was before I first went to New Orleans. I first went to New Orleans in 2010. So it's 2008, 2009. You know, 7 to 10 years later,
you know,
it feels
people enjoy these true story hero stories, and I think that's great. I mean, the people that enjoy it, and you know, I'm sure people have died in that, and you know, apparently there are some heroes involved, and that's you know, I'm glad that stories like that get told, like the Chilean miners and things like that. I think it's a good thing in the world to have. Based on true story, hero stories.
Yeah,
It's a good thing.
I'll have to see it. It's heavily tied to, you know, from the producers of, or maybe even the director of Lone Survivor, which I was crazy about.
I liked it.
I
like military movies.
It just looks like something that I'm gonna not be crazy about.
Right.
And when
it kind of looks like Towering Inferno.
Yeah, when you're not crazy about something like that, it's like, then did you have to make it? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know if I'm looking forward to that one.
Good story.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That was some trailer trash.
Yeah.
That's some movies that... I think there were even more than that. I can't even remember everything
we
saw.
There was another Curious George movie. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's some...
My kids are obsessed. My little baby girl, she's 15 months old. They watch Curious George, the series.
Yeah, yeah.
And the music comes on, and she loses her mind, and it's adorable. Anyway, sorry, little smack with cuteness. But my kids are now watching, like, the Curious George movies, and it's like Curious George 4. I'm like, oh, there's all these Curious George movies. You know, the Will Ferrell one was actually pretty good.
I never saw that.
In the museum. Very good animated movie.
I believe you.
Yeah. Will Ferrell played the man in the yellow hat.
I will confirm that I believe we're going to do an episode on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. And the reason why...
And we should bring Chris Prexa just to spite him.
I know. The reason why I want to do it, I think that's the worst movie we've reviewed. Is that in 100 and...
That, what was that? Vanessa Hudgens?
Oh, that... Gimme Shelter.
Oh, Gimme Shelter was bad.
That was very
bad. Getaway?
That was our first episode. That was really bad.
That was bad.
That was Selena Gomez.
Selena Gomez.
Vanessa Hudgens was Gimme Shelter. Yeah, those were both really bad.
Gimme Shelter, let me preface with, it's about, you know, some.
No one even remembers this movie.
Okay,
exists.
Sorry. Yeah. All right, well.
No, go ahead.
No, drug addiction and runaways and things like that. It was just very poorly executed and really corny.
Yeah, it was a bad Lifetime movie. But I think there's a good chance that Ninja Turtles is the worst movie we've reviewed, and so it's like, all right, let's go back. No, I'm wrong. M. Night Shyamalan did the what the hell's the name of it?
The grandparents one.
What was that called? I hated that movie so much.
Yeah, that was so bad.
Grandma's House? What was
Grandma's Boy?
What was the name of the movie?
Sexy Grandpa.
What the hell was that called?
Bad Grandpa. That was bad.
Bad Grandpa was bad.
That's up there.
No. Bad Grandpa was okay. Dirty Grandpa was bad.
Dirty Grandpa.
What's the name of the M. Night? The House?
The Sleepover?
The Night?
Ugh.
I hated it so much, I can't believe. The Visit.
Oh, God.
That's the worst movie we've reviewed. Turtles is second, but
Visit is the worst.
It's like I'm a boxer who's I'm a boxer who's lost a few, so they want to like give me an easy opponent. I'm like, I can kick the shit out of that movie.
The kid that played the grandson in The Visit. Oh God.
Oh God, that was bad.
Oh.
But
anyway, X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
Your rating.
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, it's a lot better than Batman versus Superman.
Which gave a negative 4.
I gave a 2.
Yeah.
So I'll say it's twice as good. I'll say Apocalypse gets a 4.
Ooh.
I don't think I would not tell anyone go see it. And I have more problems with it. It's not something you can't sit through. You're on the plane, sure.
Yeah.
But I can't even say, it's okay. It gets a 4.
I would go with a 5 because they're just not executing how I feel like, you know, we want to see, we're fans. What Marvel Avengers does, they cannot do.
The hope is, you know, that this stops. We don't know what Marvel's doing after the current phase, right? We know all the Phase 3 movies through Infinity War, all of that. We don't know what's coming in Phase 4 and beyond. I just hope that sometime in the next 3-4 years, Fox gives up, sells those rights back, and then when it comes down to, Iron Man's not here anymore, Captain America's not here anymore, how are they going to keep doing this with the X-Men? I hope that's what happens.
That's possible. I mean, we could see maybe in about, you know, 8 to 10 years that's what's going to happen, is that Marvel Disney buys X-Men and does it right.
Do you have
They could.
That'll do it for us. Do you have a Wolverine voice?
No.
Or just can you make Wolverine sound effects? Or
I give this a 5, Bob.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.